love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and happy birthday, Erica Lee. I did send out an email already because I did do the happy birthday video. It's been raining all day, so instead of going out to the yard and going to my normal place to do my birthday videos, I did it inside. So I really compromised for my girl today. But I still did it, and I still, you know, she's my girl. I love my girl. I did point out in her happy birthday video, you know, that's her when we were in Switzerland. That's actually Germany. We went over the river, and that's the John Huss Museum. We stood in front. We didn't go in, unfortunately. You know, and there was the other photo of her I mentioned. But the thing I forgot to point out was that's her, the shirt she sent me. You know, it does say on it, my favorite writer calls me dad, which she sent to me many years ago in reference to her. The book that I have, it's over there. I bought 3 or 4 copies of it to give out to friends, and she, you know, I have a signed copy, you know, and of course that's Charlotte's purse, and those are those socks and so forth. And, you can't see it, but behind is the dunce cap when I did the Rose of Dunce, the spoof on her Rose of Dunce, book, which was online. And at least at the time, she was appreciative. I don't know what she thinks of me now, obviously. You know, it's interesting to me, when she did, have that, what was it, a 2-hour long, interview, with the atheist, harmonic atheist, I forget his name. And then of course, I told them that, you know, I sent a comment to him and sent him an email, whatnot, and I said, there's probably a lot of things we agree on. But instead of engaging me, he censored me. You know, got rid of the comments, got rid of the, you know, a woman asked a question. She didn't understand the Bride of Christ thing. I gave a rational response, and he censored that too. So I think the issue is, it's not a fear of me, it's a fear of Scripture. It's a fear of the Lord, you know. And again, there's a fear of the Lord in two ways. There's a fear of the Lord of saying, you are my creator. Everything that I exist and so forth because of you. And I cannot stand before you on my own merit saying I have worth to come to you. It is only your grace. And so that's the fear of the Lord. You know, it's the beginning of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, those kind of ideas. It is not, but then there's a fear of the Lord that's a terror in the sense that, I'm toast here. So the only thing I can do is either try to convince myself that he doesn't exist or somehow I have more power over him or something of that nature. You have to deny his existence, the Romans 1. I'm afraid one of the ways you do that is you silence anybody who offers you, especially a rational or clear description of Scripture and willing to engage in that. So you got to shut them down. Of course, the issue is when an atheist does that, you know, that's in a sense kind of to be expected. When institutional church leadership do that, well, that's Matthew 23, isn't it? When your own family does it, you know, a man's enemies are those of his own household. This is most unfortunate. And there's something in my mouth. I was semi-productive today. It was only one of my reasonable days, but because I'm trying to clean up the way a lot of things work in the sense of both the navigation and the internals to support them, because I want to make it again simple and consistent. But and one of the things that I looked at in the internals is I have a fact object, and I realized that I need to get rid of the name attribute, obviously, you know. So I looked through, did a search of all the stuff where I use that, and I said, okay, there is a reasonable number of things. I think it was like 400, but I could get rid of them fairly quickly. Most of them will go automatically. Some of them, you know, bulk change. Some of them I'll have to do it manual. And what I did is experiment with one, because I had, when I have a page that has external links, I changed the way I did that. So I have to get rid of the old versions. And what I did is I did the search, and I looked and I found some of it was some old stuff. And I thought that was interesting. So I used that as a way to experiment. Because where I ran into it is a video I did called A Bit of My History, You Cannot Serve God and Money. And so I will provide the link for that, because it was impactful for me. This was January 15th of 2018, so it was a while ago. And obviously, Jim Cross and I do not see eye to eye on, some translations as God of money, others God of wealth, which apparently seems to be a better term. But either way, we don't see eye to eye on that. And of course, like an atheist, he ran from the table as opposed to engage. Again, one of the things that I think is so important, if your brother goes astray, a good example is the James 5, when you bring him back. Well, if I'm advocating or promoting something that's wrong, a loving brother will say, excuse me, let me correct you. I mean, again, that's consistent with the Leviticus 19:17 to rebuke a friend. I want to be corrected. I don't want to be left in sin. There's no love in there if you leave me in sin or leave me going down a wrong path. And of course, that flows both ways. It comes back to the idea of the mutual encouragement, which again, I think is a phenomenal thing. But anyway, I did that I mentioned, actually dropped some clips in from a video that was done in 2006, more than a week ago, called Game On, The Unauthorized History of Video Games. And it was an interesting video for me because it's my history. Because I was involved with several people in the game industry. I recently mentioned the gentleman who did Showbiz Pizza. I remember the name now. he was one of the guys who was involved in the, he was a major player involved in the animated characters that became, actually, a lot of the technology became part of Chuck E. Cheese because they bought them out. But the more significant player that I dealt with was Ray Kassar. And so what I did is, the video's there too. Originally I had a link to the video, but I've worked out because, one of the things I'm trying to do is put in the tools, censorship. Part of this objective here is the censorship problem. And one of the things that a lot of people do is, YouTube censors, so we'll put it in BitChute or Rumble or whatever, Odyssey and whatnot. Now, you do it on your own site, especially if your own site is local. I've been playing with it because obviously I have some stuff, for example, I did the Al Jazeera video, just kind of, but I wanted a technique where I could have a bulk, all the stuff I have, whether it's mine, in the sense, especially if I want to have things that are my personal copy. I bought a DVD years ago of something, and so it's now on the hard drive. So it is legally mine, but I want to put it on a place that I may have it. I may have it online for my family to use, for example. you know, it's mine, belongs to me or my family. And of course, then you get kind of, well, but that's, you know, others can get to it too. But, you know, so there are issues, but my concern is the technology. And so I've been playing with that, and a couple of fundamental ideas came through how to do this a little bit better than I was. Plus, where's the best place to experiment? My own. So, you know, I obviously have Kozlowski.org, and I have family.kozlowski.org. And one of the things that's important is that Kozlowski.org is a website, and, this is trees and layers. But anyway, if you go to Kozlowski.org, it's all this stuff. You go to family.kozlowski.org, it uses Kozlowski.org as a template. So you can have other things, new things that are only on the Kozlowski, the family site, but you have full access to all the stuff that's in the Kozlowski site at the same place. That's why when you go to, the promise stuff is on Kozlowski.org. Things like the voicemail stuff, the older version of it, was only on the family stuff. A lot of them have moved over. I've combined because the promise was just the postcard and the voicemail was just the voicemail. Now I've moved the voicemails, such as this one, is on the promise place. So it's part of Kozlowski.org. But some things, like the government documents, considering I did get another document from the government a couple days ago, whatever. Those are at family.kozlowski.org/gov, but they're not at kozlowski.org. So it's this template thing. So I figured, okay, I'm going to add one more thing. I'm going to do another site that, because I have a bunch of them, but media.kozlowski.org. And it'll be a template for kozlowski.org. And all it will have is you go to kozlowski.org/media, and that's where all that stuff will be. The point behind that is that now gives me a way to say I can have all this at one location, you know, such as my own private server or a public or, you know, server online. But, you know, especially because, you know, I have copyrighted things on there. It's not for the general public. Or I can use the same technology to make it completely overtly public. So I'm using Kozlowski.org, media.kozlowski.org, family.kozlowski.org in order to experiment with this thing and think this through. Because the issue with the media site in particular is the amount of data there is huge. And the frequency of access is very low. So you'd want to put that, the bulk storage of that in low-cost storage, because it's rarely used. And I'm trying to work out the techniques. Plus, it's also part of the framework of the distributed storage model for Shelfar Nexus in order to turn that into a product that others can use and others can generate revenue on. But anyway, long story. But so it's there. And I'm experimenting with that, and I put it on, and I might even watch that video tonight, the bit of my history one. But on the unauthorized history of video games, the thumbnail, I used the picture of Ray Kassar, because again, it was one of those moments, you know, period 1981, where the hotel room that he provided, one for myself, one for my partner Richard, in the Hyatt Regency in Chicago when we were up there one of the trips, was about as big as my house is. I mean, that guy threw around money that was like nothing. I mean, because this guy was, you know, he was rather wealthy. You know, he gave millions of dollars to universities and things of that nature and whatnot. He had a lot of money, and you know, he got a lot of money for us, which was short-lived. But anyway, that was an interesting time of life, and I am very grateful that my time in the video game industry ended around 1981, 81, 82, whatever it was. It's a horrible place to be. It really is a horrible place to be. Because it's such a... it's a horrible place to be. But what that obviously brings to mind is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That's what you would normally think. You know, these, you can see how these things one lead to another. I did a study on that today because I've studied this many times, and it's a trap that I think a lot of people fall in, because I have seen it many times when I've gathered with a group of people and we're discussing a particular issue, especially like pro-life groups or just, and, you know, we look, oh, something terrible is happening in our world or our country and whatnot. So we pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I've seen that, heard that quoted in prayers more than once, followed by, Lord, fix them. I mean, seriously, I've seen this over and over in gatherings that I've been at, and hearing it in, you know, like on TV or video, whatever, people do that. You know, we pray this, Lord, fix them. It's exactly opposite to what it says. If my people humble themselves, so Lord, fix me. That's what it's after. So I wanted to understand a little more of the context to make sure, and it's fantastic. So starting at verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So let's stop there and look at that again. Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now, the question is, which king? And, you know, I would lean towards perhaps maybe the normal reading, King Solomon. But is it the King of Kings? I don't know. I think it's worth considering. Because the next, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his house, he successfully accomplished. His house. So it seems that the context is Solomon saying this. Solomon planned to do it in his own house. Or is it? Is it the Lord's house? Because, and the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Not a place to dwell in. So, but a house of sacrifice. And then, you know, continuing on the house question, you know, there's several examples of these, but one would be John 2:19. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. Will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. So this is a case where it's unambiguous, where he talks about the temple. It's his body, not the building. It's unambiguous in John 2. And the temple, or the body, or also the house. Because, you know, the house of the Lord, the temple, and so forth, you'll see that a lot of times they're somewhat interchangeable. And so that's where, again, the importance of looking at all of Scripture, not just a little snippet at a time, to see what is consistent here. I don't think I can specifically say in all these things, well, this means this. But I think the important thing is to look at and say, this doesn't mean only this. It could mean this, that, or the other. And we need to leave these all on the table because, you know, we may be convinced it's option A, B, or C. And we say, okay, well, I'm convinced it's option A. But I want to leave option B and C on the table because when I look at it again next year or 5 years from now, I might say, oops, now that I see other things, it's actually option B. Or it could be either or, you know, depending upon whatever, because I do think that there are places where that could be true. But anyway, continuing on verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. So this is the setup for verse 14. When the Lord does these things. So the Lord has shut up the heavens and so forth. And obviously, why did you do that? He does that, as he, you know, talked about in Deuteronomy, for example, because you've turned from the Lord. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, so my people called by my name, not the general populace, my people, the bride of Christ, the elect, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not turn others from their wicked ways. We turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. This goes back to the thing I mentioned before about, you know, correcting a brother. I want correction because I don't want to go there to the Lord and say, I'm right, so I don't need correction. Fix them. No, Lord, I want to see where I'm going astray because I want to be obedient to you. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Continue. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. The house. Which house? Is he talking about the temple? The building that Solomon put together? Or is he talking about his body? Because the Lord appeared to Solomon. I have chosen and consecrated this house. Was he talking about the temple? Or is he standing in front of Solomon and talking about his body, that house, that his name may be there forever? His name is there forever, isn't it? In his body, not his temple. You know, because again, you go to Revelation, there is no temple. There's Christ. And as for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule in Israel. Well, okay. This is clearly about Solomon, and Solomon, his heart was turned away by his stack of wives and things of that nature. So he didn't do this, and therefore, you know, Rehoboam, his son, that was where things collapsed. So you shall not lack a man to rule in Israel. Oh, well, what does it mean? I give commands to do this. The word in the Septuagint, at least, is hegemai, which has, you know, it's like the archy, to be first, to lead, to rule. Hegemai is to lead or rule. So the question here is, you shall not lack a man to rule or to lead in Israel. I do wonder how much it is to lead. Because again, I don't think we're given a command, well, I've expressed that, to ever rule over another man. So is that authority that's being, you will lead? In other words, you will set the model to follow Christ. Not you will command people, wash my shoes or whatever. I think it's worthy of consideration. But if you turn aside, forsake my statutes and my commandments that I set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I've given you, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out from my sight, and I will make it a proverb and byword among the peoples. Well, what did he do? He turned to other gods. You know, he was led astray by his wives, turned to other gods. He pluck you up from the land, and you know there's a lot of stuff. You know obviously there was the time in Babylon and all those kind of things. And this house that I've consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. So it seems that, is it the building? Or is it, has he removed himself? But I will make it a proverb and byword among all the peoples. So it seems like it's talking about the building at that point. At this house, which is exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this, done to this land and to this house? So it seems that that is talking about the temple. But then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord and the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this disaster on them. 1 Samuel 8. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that I have done from the day I brought them up out of the land of out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, as they are doing, also doing to you. This obviously predates this, because this is, you know, Samuel comes before David and Solomon. But, you know, verse 22 of 2 Chronicles, the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and 1 Samuel 8:8, I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. I brought them up out of Egypt even to this day. So he's using similar context, which I think it is fascinating. But then Samuel 8:7, they have rejected me from being king over them. 2 Chronicles 7:22, because they abandoned the Lord. I would suggest you see a consistency there. But then, of course, the thing that I find so important about the 1 Samuel 8 is verse 18. And in the day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. That, to me, is one of the most devastating verses in that passage. And, well, it's a big one. It's a really bad one in Scripture in the sense that I don't want to go there. I want the Lord to hear me. I want the Lord to hear my pleas and my thanks. I don't want to turn to another God. When things become difficult, it's kind of like, well, God, you're not working. I'm gonna get a little help from over this guy over here. No, no. If things aren't going well, Lord, I'm going to appeal to you. Things aren't going well, but I'm going to appeal to you and you alone. Not another God. Not a king, earthly king. Or the state. Anyway, I think there's a lot of things to examine here. I think there's related consistencies. I do think the abandoning of the Lord and rejecting him, there's the consistency in that. I do wonder about, because the house of the Lord and the king's house and so forth, the various houses are mentioned several times. And are they always the same context or not? You know, again, I don't have a definitive answer, but I'm willing to say, well, it could be this, that, or the other. And I think it's important not to say, I'm going to close my eyes to anything else. No, I want to look at this, that, or the other. Because I'm not the reference. Either this guy with the coat and tie and his degrees, the reference. The Lord is the reference. So my appeal is to, I want to know from him. And one of the great things to do is engage with others and say, what am I missing here? Because someone else may give you the insight and say, you know, actually, if you look over here and over here and whatnot, it can be marvelous. And I do think the verse 18, you shall not lack a man to rule, being specifically being hegemony, has a significant meaning because there was another place somewhere where you see, was it? It wasn't in this passage. It was another place I studied today or yesterday, where you had in the ESV something like rule three times, but there were different words in the Greek. So it's you saw it. I think you saw the difference in the LSV, if I recall correctly. I don't have that on top of my head right now. But anyway, the bottom line is our trust is in the Lord, not the state. Our trust is in the Lord, not the corporation. Our trust is in the Lord, not our circumstances. Our trust is in the Lord. And when we are weak, when we are weak, we appeal to Him, Lord, help me. Help me not only in my circumstances, but help me hold on to You, because I don't have the strength over my circumstances. My circumstances can overwhelm me and rip me apart, rip me from my Lord. So my Lord needs to hold me. So my plea is, Lord, hold me. And whenever the opportunity is there, Lord, thank You. I see that You've held me. Again, it's a sacrifice of praise. We can't do anything for Him. He doesn't need us. He provides everything. He's not served with human hands. We cannot make Him in debt to us. What we can offer is not that we built an icon or a monument or whatnot, but we gave thanks. And a way to give thanks is, you know, the sincere heart of thanks, but also it's reflected in trust. I want to, you know, when I had my kids around me, I didn't have the depth of understanding of the Scripture. And it goes back to as I continue to explore, it seems to me older people are supposed to teach younger people. You know, older person, presbyteros, an elder, supposed to teach the younger, the Neophytes. And we are, you know, it's a call to do that. And, you know, I recall so often, especially when I was really young, you know, especially like junior high, high school, and there's someone talking about technology or math or science or whatnot, something I was interested in, which, oh, this is neat, I want to know. When I listened to somebody who had knowledge, it was kind of like, I want to suck it in. I'm enjoying hearing from this person who knows more from me than I do by far. And I'm getting an insight. And I'm afraid what's happened, you know, take the science field. We're no longer getting that insight because it's not, let me tell you why, it's, isn't this cool? You know, that's why, you know, NASA's become so politically correct and, you know, the colleges and universities are politically correct. They're not a place of, you know, challenging your mind. That is really diminished radically. The same thing I think you would see in the Christian community where we go and I want to hear the music and I hear sensational talk. Oh, this is cool. I'm so glad to be a part of this and I feel encouraged and oh, let me write a check. I think what we need is we're called to mature, to grow closer to perfection or completeness. When you're older, you should have done that. And as a mature person, you can teach younger people to bring them up to maturity faster than it happened to you. We draw the younger generation towards maturity, not give them a certificate. We exercise their minds, not tell them, follow me, follow the Lord, is what we point them to. And, you know, the thing I mentioned, you know, I used to have two issues with Social Security. One is it's theft, as I've described. Two is it helps break down the multi-generational family relationship because, oh, grandparents, their state takes care of them. We don't, you know. But the other thing is it takes the mature people saying, now I can just put my feet up all day and watch TV or do nothing. I'm no longer engaged in culture. I become impotent. And that, I think, is maybe the most devastating thing of all the issues. Anyway. Erica Lee, happy birthday. 32 years old, huh? I think I can say your age until you get to 40. Once you get to 40, I think, I mean, it used to be, once you get to 40, that's when you stop. Oh, yes. She's a younger lady. But I think I can still say you're 32. I think that's okay. I could be wrong. You know, culture may have changed. I don't know. But either way, I'm the dad and I'm going to say it. And Erica Lee, I love you. You've abandoned the Lord. And, you know, I will point out for the 118,477th time, your photo, they are one until death. My hand and mom's hand. And I am keeping the promise. You did this. And obviously, you don't keep the promise. Nor does mom. I promise to keep the promise. And after over 10 years now of abandonment, I'm still keeping the promise. I have one lady and one lady alone. It's the, well, why not? I read it yesterday. I'm going to read it again. I think that was important. This is the close of the Black Families Matter video. Find one woman, become one flesh with her, remain one flesh with her and her alone all the days of your life. More than all the proclamations you can make or organizations you can be a part of, if you can't do this, you are nothing. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:2. I really think of, you know, that I would suggest that was a provocative video. The Black Families Matter video was a provocative video. If I could get any point across of the whole video to, obviously the line before this was talk about, this is for any man, but also specifically for a black man. But it's true for any man. Because, the point of that is if I can encourage a young black man to do that, there's probably nothing more I can do for him that's better. You know, assuming he does it because of obedience to Christ. If I can encourage a young black man to do that, it was, you know, praise the Lord. Thank you. But I also want to encourage white men, yellow, brown, red, so forth, Walter, Zadok, George, and the men that would marry Glory Jane, Susanna, Tirza, and maybe repentant Isaac, Jack, and Brent. Obviously, there are, with some of those people involved, there is sin. They did not live this out. Stop now. Stop the sin. Live the commitment. There's a cost for living the commitment to Christ. You might get abandoned. I know this. But I will not abandon my wife. My lady, my wife, yet again, another short video. I love you. There's no one else. I love you. And I want you back.